Returning your Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We want to read beginning at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that the desire of your heart tonight is for us to meet you there. Meet you in the place that you have gone to prepare. And we pray that if there's anybody here tonight who does not know you as their Savior, we pray that they would hear the desire of the one who loved them unto death, the Lord Jesus Christ, his desire to have them meet him there. And that's possible because of his death and the shedding of his blood on the cross of Calvary. Pray that you'd speak to our hearts from your word tonight, that you would be our teacher, and that you would remind us tonight of things that we know, but things that we need to consider from time to time. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For the last several evening messages, haven't left our study of the book of Galatians. We were just studying the book of Galatians from the Old Testament as we looked at this 430-year period that Paul mentions in verse 17. But tonight we want to come back to these pages in the book of Galatians, and we want to try and finish chapter 3. I don't know that we can do that, but we want to try at least. And we begin with verse 26. That is a very important verse. It's a very simple verse. And the simplicity of it needs to be proclaimed. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There are a lot of denominations and the churches that belong to them who believe and preach these words in the first part of this verse. For ye are all the children of God. In Isaiah chapter 30, the Lord said of Israel, beginning in verse 9, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. For churches to tell people, for ye are all the children of God, that's speaking smooth things. It's preaching deceit. But that's the kind of message that makes people comfortable. Because it leaves out the message of verse 22 here, for example. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. There are churches in this town where that word sin is a discouraging word. And like the old song says, where never is heard a discouraging word. That word is left out of the preaching. To preach that we're all the children of God is to leave out the message of Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's to leave out the message of Romans 6 and verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. Preaching just that message, that ye are all the children of God, is the message that Paul described in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that would be preached in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. People with itching ears that can only be scratched and satisfied by teachers who speak smooth things, by teachers who prophesy deceits. And the result will be, as Paul tells us, that they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Fables like, you're all the children of God. We need to be reminded that we're born into this world, and God says of you and me that we are not His children. We're not His children. We're the devil's children. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:44, it's one of the most important verses in the Bible, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Ye are all the children of the devil. That's who we are by nature. I'll never forget the daughter who wrote a note to her very religious parents. And she told them that she had been a Christian since she was born. She'd been a Christian since she was born. This is the kind of mentality that we're talking about. And I'm sure the parents beamed when they read her note, because she was a product of what they believed. How sad it is that they could not have given her the message of Psalm 51 verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Or the message of Psalm 58 and verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies, just like our father, the devil, who is a liar and the father of it, and who is our father. As we're born into this world, like father, like son, like father, like daughter. The problem is that message doesn't preach well. It's not well received at the first church uptown or at the memorial denominational church or at this saint church or that saint's church. It's so much easier to preach, for ye are all the children of God. So much easier to preach that we're all God's children. We're all going to heaven. All roads, all churches lead there. Just pick one and go on and live your life the way you see fit, and everything will be fine. That is a lie of the devil. The only way to be a child of God, this verse tells us, is by faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not even our faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ that he has in himself and that he gives us as a free gift. My faith has found a resting place not in device or creed or in myself. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is how we become the children of God. It's by faith in Christ Jesus. And we ever need to preach the simplicity of that message. And never give in to the temptation to back away from it in any way. Are you a child of God tonight? Are you a child of God tonight? The only way that you can be is not by your works. The only way you can be is by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Verse 26 provides a challenge, a point of examination of our profession. Are we really a child of God? Verse 27 does the same thing. We want to think about baptism for just a few minutes. The baptism that Paul is talking about here is not water baptism. Water baptism does not put us into Christ. Look over, if you will, at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." This is a critical verse concerning baptism. There are two words that we need to see in this verse. First of all, notice the word figure. Figure. Baptism is a figure. It is a symbol. It is a picture of salvation. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, God sees us as crucified with Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him." That's how God sees us. And then God sees us as buried with the Lord Jesus. That's why when we baptize people, we take them under the water to symbolize that we are buried with him unto death. And then we raise people up. We bring them out of the water as a figure that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. This is the figure, the symbolism, the picture of baptism. Now let's keep reading. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. The next word that we want to see is the word save. Now the baptismal regeneration people, those who believe that you have to be baptized to be saved, they read that word save and they say, there it is. In black and white, baptism doth also now save us. But they're resting the scriptures unto their own destruction. This verse, as do so many verses in the Bible, defines the word save. In fact, the Spirit of God tells us what this word does not mean, and he tells us what this word does mean. First of all, he tells us what this word save does not mean. It does not mean the putting away of the filth of the flesh. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That is what salvation is. Salvation is the putting away of the filth of the flesh. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, God describes us this way. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And the Lord's not through describing us, if that's not sufficient. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, he says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Folks, this is the filth of the flesh. Wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Being an unclean thing in the sight of God. Filthy rags. These are the words that describe the filth of the flesh. And God says here that the waters of baptism, the waters that we run in this pool, cannot put away the filth of the flesh. If baptism is what you are basing your salvation on tonight, you are not saved. You're not saved. Because the water in that pool cannot put away the filth of the flesh. And the filth of the flesh has got to be put away. That's what salvation is. So if the water of baptism cannot put away the filth of the flesh, then what can? Well, the answer is glorious. Keep your place here and look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. The putting away of the filth of the flesh. According to the riches of his grace. Look at Colossians chapter 1. This is a very important point, because the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul is going to repeat it almost word for word. Colossians 1 and verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. One more, and this is my favorite one. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And look at verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul says, or rather John says, that what he's writing is from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now notice these next words. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That, the blood of Christ, is what can put away the filth of the flesh. These verses, and no doubt others, inspired a man by the name of Robert Lowry in 1876 to write the words of a hymn that we love to sing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that can put away the filth of the flesh. Water baptism cannot save. That's the message here. So what does this word save mean in 1 Peter 3:21? Let's go back there. What is it referring to? Well, the Spirit of God tells us. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. We've just seen only the blood of Christ can do that. But the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism is obedience to the Lord. It's a public testimony that the filth of our flesh has been put away by the blood of Christ. It's a public testimony that we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior before we ever enter into these waters. It's a public testimony that we have been crucified with Him and buried with Him, and God has quickened us. And He's given us His life, and He's raised us up from the dead of our trespasses and sins to walk in newness of life. This is the figure, this is the symbol, this is the picture of water baptism. Now let's go back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So if Paul is not talking about water baptism here, and he is not, what kind of baptism is he talking about? He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 8, John the Baptist said, I indeed have baptized you with water. But he, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, when does that happen? It happens the moment that we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. There is so much to be learned from the coming of the Lord into the world. We talk about it at Christmas time, but we ought to talk about it all during the year. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, the angel Gabriel told Mary when she asked him, how can this be that Jesus, the Son of the Highest, could be conceived in her? Remember what Gabriel told Mary. He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. We've talked before how what happened to Mary is a picture of what happens to every person who gets saved. The Holy Ghost comes upon us. He comes upon us to reprove of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, to show us our need, to show us our lost condition. And when we humble our hearts and we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, when we say, as Mary said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, be it unto me according to thy word, then the power of the Highest overshadows us. And at that moment, the life of the Lord Jesus is conceived in us by the Holy Spirit. And we are, as we see here in Galatians 3:27, baptized into Christ. Baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. Turn back for just a minute to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, and notice verse 13. For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's the body of Christ. Now it's important to be clear on this. Not long after Gail and I were married, we went to a Baptist church in Easley, South Carolina. The preacher there was a man who loved the Lord. He preached the gospel. But because, as so many Baptist churches do, because he was trying to get numbers, baptisms, church members, he took this verse and the words here, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And he said that that is a reference to water baptism into the local church. That's not what this verse is teaching. Paul is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that takes place when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about in Galatians 3:27. Let's go back there. For as many of you, notice that language, It's not all. It's not all. It's only as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. And that doesn't happen back here in the baptismal pool. It happens when we put our faith in Christ Jesus. And He washes us from the filth of the flesh in His own blood. And He baptizes us into Himself, into His body, by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. These two verses, Galatians 3:26 and 3:27, are not unrelated. In fact, they have God's order. Verse 26, faith in Christ Jesus, that comes first. Then verse 27, baptized into Christ. When we put our faith and trust in Christ Jesus, then we are baptized into Christ by His Spirit, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, safe and secure for all eternity. Amazing salvation that we have, isn't it? Now, what we've talked about tonight, most of you know. But the Lord has put these things here in the book so that, as Paul said in Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That's one reason to talk about them. Another reason is because we have young people coming along. Young people coming along. You know, it's so easy to assume that people just know these things. Well, they have to be taught. And there are young people coming along who will one day be the members of this church. Some will be the leaders. Some will be the teachers in this church and school. And they need to understand these things, that they might stand true to the Lord and His Word. There's more to say here in verses 28 and 29, but I really feel like we would do a disservice if we tried to get into those things tonight. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You that we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And we thank You that when we put our faith and trust in You, that we are baptized into You by Your Spirit. We thank You that the only thing that can put away the filth of the flesh is the precious blood of Christ. And we thank You for the sacrifice of Calvary's cross that provided that precious blood that can wash away the filth of the flesh. Father, may there not be one person here tonight who, if they were asked, are you saved? They would say, I've been baptized. I've been baptized. Father, we pray that they would understand that those waters cannot put away the filth of the flesh. We thank You for our time together tonight, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.